Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 5, or verse 1 to 6. The Lord's servant says, "The Lord, my master, put his spirit in me. God chose to tell good news to poor people and to comfort sad people. God sent me to tell the captives that they are free and to tell the prisoners that they have been set free. God sent me to announce the time when the Lord will show his kindness. God sent me to announce the time when our God will punish evil people. God sent me to comfort sad people. God sent me to the sad people of Zion. I will get them ready for the celebration. I will take away the ashes on their heads, and I will give them a crown. I will take away their sadness, and I will give them the oil of happiness. I will take away their sorrow, and I will give them celebration clothes. God sent me to name those people good trees and the Lord's wonderful plant. At that time, the old cities that were destroyed will be built again. Those cities will be made new like they were in the beginning. The cities that were destroyed for many, many years will be made like new. Then your enemies will come to you and care for your sheep. The children of your enemies will work in your fields and in your gardens.
Yeah, well done. Thank you, Miranda. Hello, Jennifer. We're really pleased to have you with us as our speaker today.
I'm really pleased to be here.
Are you happy to use this mic? Are you?
Yes, yeah. But I've got a very quiet voice, so if you can't hear me, please wave. And then we'll do something clever with me.
Yeah, okay. Can I just pray for you before we start?
Yes, I'd like that.
Okay. Lord Jesus, I thank you for everyone that's been here today. Thank you for Jennifer and all of her preparation as she's listened to you. Yeah. I just pray that now you will help her to bring the things that are on your heart for us in this place today. And I pray for your blessing upon her. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Whoa, I have so enjoyed this morning. Wow. You're a brilliant pianist. I wasn't so good. And just as for that solo, wow. It's my favourite song anyway, but wow, you sang it so well. And as for the gorgeous tambourine, I've never seen a tambourine solo before. But you're so good. It was such fun. Oh, this is a lovely, lovely day for me because I have been a member of the DCF for 30 years too. Yep, I have. Not this branch. Not this branch, but I've been a member and I've visited lots of branches in my wheelchair, speaking to different groups all over the country. You see, I wasn't always a member of the DCF. I became a member soon after I'd had encephalitis, which had caused me to be disabled, and they said I was probably not going to ever get out of that wheelchair again. And at first, you feel very lonely. Because I was the only person in my church who was disabled. And I didn't know of anybody else, really. Not another Christian. And suddenly, once I joined, I had friends all over the country. Now, it was before emails, but I bet you have fun now, eh? But we used to write to each other and ring each other, and we would meet up. And all my very best friends became members of DCF. It was where I belonged. And that is so important, that those of you who aren't members, I'm a bit sorry for you, but you can't help it. You probably wouldn't realise just how much this organisation means to us. It really, really does. And of course, it wasn't very long before I realised something I didn't know before, but I realised that it isn't just the fact that you might be in a wheelchair or you might not be able to see or hear very well. That's not what makes you disabled. You can be crippled by things that are going on inside you. And so I started to look at everybody, even the fittest joggers, and think, I wonder what your disability is. Because it could be fear. But it could be anger. It could be real big self-pity. It could be that sense of being frightened and restless and stressed out all the time. And that comforted me. I just thought, we're all like that, really. But some people's disabilities show a bit more than others. Well, something quite sad happened to me in my life as a member of DCF. It wasn't sad in other ways, but this was a great sadness to me. Because I got healed. That was quite sad. Because, you see, I lost all my friends, or I thought I was going to. Actually, I didn't. But I was prayed for one day by a new Christian who never had only just become a Christian a few weeks before. And she prayed for me. And I was incredibly healed from the encephalitis, the things that it had left me with. And, well, I would like to say I've been running hectically ever since. But do you know what? I never resigned from the DCF, never. And now I'm a full member of it again because I've just got my blue badge. Yes! I used to have an orange one, and I had to give it back when I got well again, and I had to give back a lot of benefits and all sorts of other things, and I really cried when I saw my wheelchair being taken away too. I was fond of it. But it, of course, there were lots of other things that were good. But more recently, I was playing rugby, which actually it isn't a good idea. Not when you're sort of my age. I was playing rugby with my 3-year-old grandson, and he is very good at rugby, particularly the tackling bits. And he tackled me round the knees, and I went just like that. Oh dear, onto a hard tree root. And that was the end of my pelvis, and it was the end of my galloping and round the world a bit, really, too, because I already had some spinal problems, and it flared those all up. And arthritis doesn't help. Two kinds I've got. So I got my blue badge. Isn't that so good? And it makes me feel I've still got that group of people around me who understand. But do you know, when I first was healed through the prayer, I felt a terrible sense of guilt. Why should it happen to me? Why should God heal me when all of my friends were still left with problems? And actually, that was quite hard. I used to burst into tears every time I saw a wheelchair. In fact, I just couldn't understand Why? Because if it was faith, I had far less faith than some of my wonderful friends. If it was prayer, I hadn't prayed half so hard as they had. So why? And the lady who used to run the whole of DCF nationwide was a lovely, wonderful woman called Janet Wiltshire. Any of you remember Janet Wiltshire? A wonderful lady, and she lived in Bristol. And one day I rang her up in great distress, and I said, Janet, I just don't understand God. Why has he done this for me? And she said in her lovely sort of West Country accent, she said, well, it's a good thing that we aren't required to understand God, only to trust him. And something like a light went on inside my head. I thought, yeah, that's it. I don't understand him. I'll never understand him. But he only wants me to trust him. So what do you do when you've been in a wheelchair for those 8 years and you suddenly get your life back? That was 1990. And I thought, well, there's one thing I'm not going to do, and that is go around and tell people if they only had faith, they'd get healed. Because I'd been hurt like that so many times in the past. Well, people said, if you just trusted God, you could stand up straight away. And you think, well, I couldn't. And it is hard, isn't it? I remember one day going up to a meeting with a great friend of mine whose name was Danny. Danny was in a wheelchair too, but he was also blind. But he had a wonderful career. He used to run a hospital radio program in a huge big hospital. And his face just was one big smile all of the time. We went to this meeting. It was a healing meeting. And the person who was speaking said, today is the day when God wants to heal you. Come to the front if you need healing. So lots of people did. And I was just chatting to Danny. We were sharing together just how lovely God is and how much he wants us to be his friend. And that's what I discovered in my time in the wheelchair. It's friendship with God that matters the most. And Danny knew that too. And we were just enjoying talking about God together. When these two great big strong men came, towered over us, and they said, Danny, we know that today is the day that you're going to be healed. So we're taking you to the front. And they began to push his chair. Danny just quietly said to them, actually, he said, I've been to the front many times asking for healing, but I don't think that it's what God wants for me now at this stage. And I'll never forget this. And he said, if the first thing I ever see is the face of Jesus, that's all right by me. I loved him for that. And do you know, it was only a few months later that he saw the face of Jesus. Yeah. He's the lucky one, I think. He's the lucky one. So, what do you do when you get your life back? Well, not talk about physical healing, because in my heart, I know that's not the most important thing. It's a big thing. But I don't mind now. I've got my blue badge and I've got a lot of pain and I can't do as much as I can because inside I've got a sense of peace because I've got a friend. His friend's up there. I mean, he's not always up there. Most of the time he's right beside me. He's your friend too, isn't he? I can see that in your faces. He's your total best friend. But lots of people don't know that. They don't know it at all. So that's what I wanted to tell them about, with every little bit of energy I've ever had since. That's what I've been doing. Because you see, I discovered this. It really isn't the way you look or the problems and challenges you have physically. That is not what disables you. It's often how you react to them, but it's often how other people react to you that hurts you. And it does hurt you. I could tell you some ghastly stories, but you could tell me some too, I'll bet. Tactless stories. They hurt you. They look through you. They say to the person pushing your wheelchair, does she like tea? Would she like tea? They never ask you, would you like a cup of tea? They don't treat you like a human being. I remember one man in my church who used to put his foot on the wheel of my chair and rock it as he talked to me, like I was a baby, a fractious baby in a buggy. I hated it because I had problems with vertigo and I used to be almost physically seasick when I met him. All kinds of things like that. But, you know, actually it hurts. And what do we do when someone hurts us? Well, I believe it strongly, and I talked about this to some of the ladies yesterday. I believe we tuck it away in a little secret place deep in our hearts. Because we don't want other people to know we're hurt, do we? So we put on the smile and we say, I'm fine, thank you, but inside we're hurt. And sometimes we get hurt by all kinds of other things. And it's just like we've got a secret room in there, or maybe it's like a cupboard, and we stuff the things in there. Pretend they're not there. Try to forget them, but they are there. And those are the things, I think, that really disable us. One day, I met a lovely girl, and now she doesn't mind me telling you this story, it's okay. She lives the other side of London, so you're not going to meet her, but she is a member of the DCF. And I met her, and she has a really high-powered job. Oh, she really is high up somewhere doing something terribly clever, so clever that I couldn't get my head around what it was she did or does, but I knew it was clever. But actually, she was born with hands that are pretty well difficult to use, you know? She somehow uses them. It doesn't stop her in her career. And she said, I wondered if you would pray with me. I said, I would love to. What is it that you want to have prayer for? Well, she said, I don't really mind about my hands. I can get by. I do really well without hands. But you said it was my dad. He just couldn't cope with my hands. So when I was born, he never spoke about my hands. It just as if it didn't exist that I had a problem. And sometimes, she said, I used to catch him looking at my hands, and I would see the look on his face. It was like revulsion. Couldn't cope. But my hands were part of me. I couldn't bear it that my dad couldn't accept this bit of me that wasn't okay. And she said, I think in a way it's made me grow up feeling that God doesn't accept me either. Because if my father can't, then maybe God doesn't either. So we prayed and we asked Father God himself to come really close to Rosemary. And I read her this lovely little verse here. which comes from Numbers 6. Lovely verse. And it's the verse that God said to the priests in Israel that they were to pray over the people. And this is what it is. You all know it very well. But this version, it's from the New Living Bible. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. God told the priests to tell the people he wanted to smile at them. And so I said, Rosemary, how about if you just sat there, you held out your hands and you asked Father God how he felt about your hands. And I said, he'll answer you. It'll be the very first thing that pops into your head. If you wait too long, then it's you making it up. But if it's the first thing that comes into your head, it'll be him. Oh, said Rosemary. He said, he loves my hands. And he's so proud of the way I haven't let them get me down. And I said, would you be able to look at Father God and see what he's doing now? Well, she said, it's like that verse in Numbers. He's smiling at me. He's smiling at my hands. So we both sat and cried for rather a long time because we couldn't stop the tears. It was so beautiful. So beautiful. She'd been crippled all her life by her father's attitude to her, feeling that maybe God thought the same. And he didn't. He didn't. These are the things, I believe, that cause us much more problems. All of us human beings, whether we've got blue badges or whether we haven't, all of us human beings have a pain cupboard in there in which we store those things that hurt, the ouches of life. And what he really wants to do, I'm so convinced of it, is that he wants us to get a key and go to that cupboard and turn the lock and open the door and ask him to come into that pain place. Actually, we don't have to go in there with him. Not always. Just to let him into the center. Because some of us keep that pain all bottled up in the center of our lives. And we've got God in our lives, but we won't let him into that painful place. Because we feel we shouldn't, we think we shouldn't feel like that. And people say, you're getting bitter. So we're embarrassed. Pretend they're not there. Actually, he wants to bring his love into that place and set us free. And that's what I think is real healing. And it's people out there who don't have challenges. They need it just as much as we do. Just as much. So I'd like to pray, and then we can sing again. Would that be okay? Well, thank you, Lord, that you want to heal all of us, deep inside. And if, like Danny, our healing will come the moment we see your face, that's okay. But the things inside that hold us back from being truly happy, we want to ask you to come into those places and to bring us your peace. Please will you mend our broken hearts, just like you said you would in our scripture reading. Thank you. Amen.
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 You want to come down this way?